From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. O child of God, death hath lost its sting, because the devil's power over it is destroyed. Then cease to fear dying. Ask grace from God the Holy Ghost, that by an intimate knowledge and a firm belief of thy Redeemer's death, thou mayest be strengthened for that dread hour. Living near to the cross of Calvary, thou mayest think of death with pleasure, and welcome it when it comes with intense delight. It is sweet to die in the Lord. It is a covenant blessing to sleep in Jesus. Death is no longer banishment. It is a return from exile, a going home to the many mansions where the loved ones already dwell. The distance between glorified spirits in heaven and militant saints on earth seems great, but it is not so. We are not far from home. A moment will bring us there. The sail is spread. The soul is launched upon the deep. How long will be its voyage? How many wearying winds must beat upon the sail ere it shall be reefed in the port of peace? How long shall that soul be tossed upon the waves before it comes to that sea which knows no storm? Listen to the answer. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yon ship has just departed, but it is already at its haven. It did but spread its sail, and it was there. Like that ship of old upon the lake of Galilee, a storm had tossed it. But Jesus said, "Peace, be still," and immediately it came to land. Think not that a long period intervenes between the instant of death and the eternity of glory. When the eyes close on earth, they open in heaven. The horses of fire are not an instant on the road. Then, O child of God, what is there for thee to fear in death, seeing that through the death of thy Lord its curse and sting are destroyed? And now it is but a Jacob's ladder, whose foot is in the dark grave, but its top reaches to glory everlasting.
A great day is coming, heaven's gates will open wide, and all who love the Lord will enter in. To join with their loved ones who in Jesus Christ have died, their eternal life in heaven to begin. And the Lord Himself will greet us, oh, what joy will fill that day, and with the smile of the proudest Father, He looks at us to say, "Welcome home, children, this is the place I prepare for you. Welcome home. Children, now that your work on
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
As Pastor Tamassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he commences a message entitled, Satan Hindering. The text is verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2. Having preached the gospel to the people of Thessalonica, Paul and Silas were forced to leave because of opposition by the Judaizers. In his concern for those believers, Paul wanted to return and encourage them, but Satan had put various roadblocks in the way. Paul feared that the new Christians would be made to think that he had abandoned them, and so bring the truth of the gospel into question. Now, to introduce this message, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
I invite you to turn this morning to Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll go back as far as verse 13 this morning for our reading, and read as far as verse 18. So let's hear the word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Such was the contention that developed in Paul's ministry in this particular city of Thessalonica. We are told that the believers sent him away, that is, he and Silas, away to Berea. We'll not turn again to Acts chapter 17, but you will find it there in the narrative that Luke records. In light of this, it appears from verse 17 through 20 of the portion that we have read here in chapter 2. We didn't go all the way through to verses 19 and 20, but in this portion it seems that Paul is answering a concern that deals with a sense that they perhaps were beginning to think that he didn't really like them, that he didn't really care for them, that he had not much concern for them because they had an expectation that he would return to them, that he and Silas and Timothy would come back when everything would settle and return to be an encouragement to the church there and continue the work that had begun. But that does not occur, as we read. They desire to come, in verse 17, and Paul specifically relates to himself that he would want to come and join that party, but Satan hindered them. And it seems as if it occurred on a number of times where they desired to be there. Verse 17, let's read it again. We, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. So there's this great longing. In fact, the word endeavored in the original has a sense of diligence and haste about it. In fact, it's used in relation to travel on other occasions by the Apostle Paul when he writes to Timothy and Titus in 2 Timothy 4:9 and Titus 3:12 that they would do their diligence to come to him. And this is the same word that's being used here, and he's saying that I endeavored to do what I instructed Timothy to do, what I would later instruct Titus to do, to come to me. I was diligent in my desire to come and see your face with great desire. And so verse 18, he continues on, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. There was this repeated desire, a number of attempts made in order to go and see them again, but they were prevented. The activity which was going on in order to prevent Paul from returning to the work in the city, he ascribes to Satan. He says, Satan hindered us. And whenever we read that, it ought to trouble us initially, unless we think about it correctly, of course, but trouble us in the sense that if we understand what the Lord Jesus promised in Matthew 16, verse 18, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, when we read this language, it appears on the surface that the gates of hell are prevailing against the church, that Satan is hindering some aspect of the work of God, preventing the men of God doing their desire, fulfilling their sense of obligation to the churches. Now, of course, we know that cannot be, but we need to understand it then, what is going on here. And so this morning we're considering this idea of Satan hindering, and three very simple points. First, the reaction to Satan's activity, the recognition of Satan and his activity, and then the reality of our Savior's sovereignty. So we come then to the first main point this morning, the reaction to Satan's activity. Verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. The language of verse 17 is fairly straightforward. I don't really have to explain too much about it. He deviated for a time, that is the Apostle Paul, into this aspect of the Jews and their opposition to the gospel in verses 14 through 16 that we considered last Lord's Day morning. That's really a deviation, because the flow of verse 17 and 18 and what is picked up upon there really comes out of verse 13. In verse 13, the apostle is rejoicing in the reception of the word. He is rejoicing in how the word had that impact that every preacher desires in the recipients of the word, that they received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh, it continues to work in you that believe. And in verse 17 then, he goes on to continue on, well, here's what happened. We went there, you received the word, and then we were taken from you for a short time in presence. We were removed from your presence. You can see the flow then as he rehearses the history of what happened in the establishment of this particular church. We brought the word, you received the word, we rejoice in that, and then we were forced, we were made to be taken from you in presence for a short time. I think you can see the flow of his writing here. This unplanned departure is what we're looking at and what occurred on that occasion. And Paul says only a short time had passed when they were taken from their presence, and they were still in their hearts, still harboring that sense of affection toward them, though they could not see them, they loved them within their own being. And they longed to see their face with great desire. As I say, it's a very simple text, not really much that needs to be said. Of course, with the failed attempts that were made, just quickly moving on to verse 1 of chapter 3, you will see that then, following that, they send Timothy to them. We'll read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3, just so you know that this occurs. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we couldn't wait any longer, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, that's he and Silas, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We sent Timothy just to ensure that you would not be moved by the punishing experience of being a Christian at this time in this particular part of the world. We couldn't go, Paul couldn't go, Silas couldn't go, but we sent Timothy to be an encouragement to you. But what is interesting about verse 17, at least, that I thought in my study for this message this morning, is a particular word that he uses in verse 17 that we'll just pause on just for a moment. Because when he says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, that verb there, being taken, is in the Greek is a compound word, but you will be familiar with the main heart of the verb, the root of it, that it's our word orphan comes from it. And you have all sorts of connotations that will come from that word, and we maybe would apply too much and take too much to heart in trying to put in a meaning there. But the sense of it, as one commentator put it, is in this way. He says, it is an allusion to that grief, anxiety, and reluctance of heart with which dying parents take farewell of their children when they are just going to leave them helpless orphans exposed to the injuries of the world. Or that sorrow of heart which poor destitute orphans close the eyes of their dying parents. There's a sense of a parting that's felt here between orphans and the parting of the parents. And that's the word that he uses in order to add drama to the feeling and the experience that was in his heart as he was forced, as I say, unplanned, to be removed from ministry among them. We, brethren, being taken from you, orphaned from you. We were removed like in that sense of being parted in a way that brings lamentation to the heart and soul. It's for a short time. And yet they carry them in their hearts. I think that's very interesting. I don't want to elaborate too much upon Paul's love for this church. We have made mention of it on numerous occasions. The opening verses of this chapter really highlight it for us in many ways, where he talks about being gentle among them, verse 7, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, being effectually desirous of you, verse 8, and then you have language even going on that in verse 12, where verse 11, where he talks about being as a father, like a father toward children. And so this is language of affection, and we've established that already. But here the Apostle Paul is emphasizing it by this sense of parting being like this sense of being removed as children from their parents. It's not something he desired. I suppose if they were there doubting his love, doubting Silas's love, and thinking, well, there they're gone, and the accusation had come, even as it seems from the opening verses of this chapter, where there was these accusations saying that, look at verse 3, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. And this accusation had been coming. Verse 5, neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. So some of these accusations we have suggested were being put to the apostle, and they're being confirmed by the fact that he hadn't returned. Now you can add it together. You can see the picture as it builds. There, having received Christ, responded to the word, the attacks from unbelieving Jews primarily are saying, look, he's just a charlatan. He's a fake. He's a fraud. Don't listen to him. All of those particular individuals that were raised up, those certain fellows of the baser sort that the language is used in the Authorized Version in Acts 17, these people are standing and saying, look, they're just fake. They're frauds. Don't listen to them. And they have committed their entire lives to Jesus Christ. They have responded to the word, and now they're teetering, perhaps, upon wondering, is what they're saying true? Have we been duped? Is it all a lie? And they would be saying, well, if he really cared for you, he would come back. He wouldn't leave you alone. No good teacher, no good instructor, no good father in that sense of spiritual guidance would just leave you as an infant in the things of truth or whatever you've been taught. You would, of course, have many in those days in the Greek world, you would have your philosophers, and they would have their students around them, and they would be committed to them to instruct them and teach them, and this would be the image that would be built up. Teachers don't leave their students like this. They don't just depart unless they're frauds. So Paul's answering that doubt, that seed of doubt that had been planted there, either from their own hearts or from outsiders speaking into them and saying, look, it's all been a lie. And the language he uses, again, is full of meaning, full of heart, full of affection. Being taken like orphan from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face. We diligently desire to see your face with great desire. Of course, Timothy would have communicated this already. Timothy's been there already. That's what he says in chapter 3 in the opening verses. We sent Timothy to you. So Timothy went along and no doubt communicated this, and they were aware of it. But Paul is just backing up what Timothy said. Timothy's just not making excuses for the Apostle Paul. He is saying what is true. As he carries the letter with him, the mind of Paul is unveiled to them as well.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at
1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.